This is Conquering Columbus.
Hey, everybody. Welcome to another episode of the Conquering Columbus podcast. This is your co-host, Mike, here. And on this episode of the show, I got the chance to sit down with Paula Haynes, CEO of Freedom A La Carte. Freedom A La Carte is a nonprofit organization here in Columbus with a focus on supporting survivors of human trafficking in Central Ohio. And they offer several different programs in support of this mission, which you'll hear more about during this discussion with Paula. But early on, I asked her how she got involved with Freedom A La Carte, and here's what she said.
First, I was a volunteer and just helped in the kitchen, and then saw that some of the staff members had to leave because they didn't have benefits, and one was going through a divorce and she had to find a new job. And I thought, okay, that's crazy. That should not be happening. So I said, let's find out how we can raise some money. And that's when we launched Eat Up Columbus to just help generate funds for the organization. And through that, I was invited onto the board. So then I was on the board for a few years. We were looking for the new leader of the organization, went through a few hires that just weren't the right fit. And I finally said, you know, why don't I step off and be the interim director? And about 30 days in, my husband looked at me and said, you should just do this.
Later, we discussed the challenges of building trust with survivors and the process of supporting women who have survived human trafficking.
It's a long-term relationship. That's why we start early with participants in Catch Court to start to build that. So by the time they come to work with us in the catering business or in the cafe, then they understand who we are and know that we have their best interest at heart. Now, not that that makes it any easier for them. Still lots of barriers and further trust to build. But by the time they leave, a lot of times they don't want to leave. Like, they've become so comfortable with it. And then our job is, like any parents, you know, you're kind of encouraging them to spread their wings and fly.
We wrapped up the show discussing Paula's take on living uncomfortably, which for her meant taking the road less traveled.
I live by a similar theme, and that is, like, take the road less traveled. Really doing something that is out of the ordinary and that maybe can be a little painful at times. One of those was jumping into this role, leaving that safety net of the marketing business that I knew and was comfortable in. But let's try something else. You know, take a pay cut, you make some sacrifices there, but the internal rewards have been great.
Freedom A La Carte is a great organization with an important mission, and I had a great time chatting with Paula. As always, we hope you enjoy this interview, and thanks so much for tuning in. Let's get on with the show. Hey, everybody. Welcome to another episode of the Conquering Columbus podcast. This is your co-host, Mike, here flying solo today. Josh is out of the office. Today on the show, joining me is Paula Haynes. And Paula is the CEO of Freedom A La Carte, and she has led the organization since June of 2016. She began her work at Freedom in 2013 as a volunteer, board member, and founder of Eat Up. And Paula leads the organization from an entrepreneurial perspective, having operated her own boutique marketing agency for 10 years. She was awarded a 2017 Pillar Award and a Nonprofit Executive Director of the Year Award. And she was also named a Central Ohio Smart 50 Award honoree for her business leadership. Freedom A La Carte received the 2019 Aspire Social Enterprise of the Year Award, the Columbus CEO Best of Business Award for Best Caterer, and the 2020 Nourishing Our Community Award from the Ohio Restaurant Association. So Freedom A La Carte is a Columbus, Ohio-based catering company and workforce development program that serves and supports survivors of human trafficking. On their journey towards economic self-sufficiency, participants in this comprehensive community-based treatment focus on rescue, rehabilitation, and ultimately restoration. Freedom A La Carte expects to provide supportive services to approximately 600 survivors of human trafficking this year. So I'm excited to be chatting with Paula today about her journey, Freedom A La Carte's story, how they execute on their mission, and more. Welcome to Conquering Columbus, Paula.
Thank you. Thanks for having me.
Appreciate you joining us today. And when I first actually started reading about Freedom A La Carte just to do the outline, I was excited, right? This is something that I think doesn't always get as much attention, right? Mm-hmm. It's a topic that I think, you know, when you think about human trafficking and survivors of human trafficking, it's kind of one of those things that people, I wouldn't say shove under the rug, but it's a conversation people like to avoid. It's not a comfortable
It's not an easy one to have. Yeah.
Right. So I was excited to talk about that and more about you. But I guess one of the first places we always like to start, Paula, is just give us a little bit of background on yourself, your story. Kind of, have you always lived in Columbus? What do you, you know, all the way back?
So I grew up outside of Columbus, small farm community called Kenton, about 60 miles northwest, and loved it. But as I graduated, I kind of wanted to get away. Mm-hmm. So all of my siblings went to Ohio State, and I went down to University of Kentucky.
There you go.
So had four
Wildcats,
Wildcats. And I had four great years there, and then moved back to Columbus for my first job. And haven't left.
So you've got to be a basketball fan, right?
Somewhat.
Okay, fair.
Yeah. But my husband is from Columbus. My mother grew up here. And so my grandmother lived in Columbus on the west side. So we always came to Columbus. So I always feel like Columbus is home. I'm very familiar with it and just, you know, feel like this is it for me.
Mm-hmm. And before you got involved with Freedom a la Carte, right, you were kind of running your own business with the agency. Can you talk a little bit about that and kind of everything leading up to that point in your career?
Yeah, so I've done a lot of different things. My husband and I have owned different businesses, but the last being a marketing agency that we had printing businesses before and then branched off into the marketing side of that. Mm-hmm. It came to a point where I decided that instead of hiring someone else to do that creative side, I wanted to try it myself. So right. I taught myself how to do Photoshop and then taught myself how to do websites. And so I had that experience of just teaching myself new things, which helped me to not be afraid to jump into something just because I'd never done it before. And I think that's what gave me the confidence to jump into the role at Freedom a la Carte.
Yeah. And so how did you first hear about Freedom a la Carte?
So some friends invited me to what was called Abolition U, which was basically a human trafficking 101 course that they were doing in the organization. And so I was curious. I had heard about it. I really wasn't sure what human trafficking was or catch mm-hmm. court, and attended and just loved everything about it, to be honest. I fell in love with the mission. It was like once I found out what was going on and what really human trafficking was, I wanted to help these women see that they're worthy and help them get on their feet and become self-sufficient. Loved the social enterprise model. I thought from a business perspective for a nonprofit to have that mindset was brilliant, to generate your own revenue to help support your programming. And I love food. So I thought I loved the founders and their mm-hmm. energy and their vision. So I just hopped in.
Yeah.
And my nature is, you know, either I'm all in or I'm not in. I don't really have an in-between point. And so I got in and really started getting involved.
At first it was as a volunteer and a board member, right?
First it was a volunteer mm-hmm. and just helped in the kitchen and then saw that some of the staff members had to leave because they didn't have benefits and one was going through a divorce and she had to find a new job. And I thought, okay, that's crazy. That should not be happening. So I said, let's find out how we can raise some money. And that's when we launched Eat Up Columbus to just help generate funds for the organization. And through that, I was invited onto the board. So then I was on the board for a few years. We were looking for the new leader of the organization, went through a few hires that just weren't the right fit. And I finally said, you know, why don't I step off and be the interim director? And about 30 days in, my husband looked at me and said, you should just do this. Yeah. And I was like, can I? This is really, I just felt the passion and the purpose come together. Mm-hmm. And I had put some changes in the team and brought some new members on and thought we really had something. And I was excited to see what we could do.
Absolutely. So let's maybe not avoid that difficult conversation. Let's define it, right? You talked what the definition of human trafficking is and who we're talking about here is being impacted by this and supported by the mission. So what are we talking about when we talk about human trafficking? And secondarily, what's the impact here in Central Ohio?
Yeah, so human trafficking is those that are involved in the sex industry through force, fraud, or coercion. And really, it's a manipulation that's happening so that a lot of times the victims themselves don't realize that they're the ones being manipulated or coerced into this lifestyle. Mm-hmm. And because of that, it's really hard to put a number on what the impact is, because actually only 1% of human trafficking victims are identified. A lot of it's under the rug, behind mm-hmm. closed doors. In fact, 40% of human trafficking happens within the family. So it's with someone that you know. It might not, you know, sometimes it's your mom, you know, prostituting you for drugs, or just that's the way it's always been and that's what happens. So the sad reality of what's happening in our community, but in communities around the country and around the world.
Yeah. And, you know, like when I hear the phrase human trafficking, right, what comes to mind is like kidnapping and,
yeah,
you know, like
the van that pulls up.
What's that show, the movie with Liam Neeson?
Yeah.
Taken.
Taken.
Right. You
yes.
think Taken. But that's not the reality most often. Right. And it's much more sinister, I think of it as that definition.
Columbus is ranked 5th. Hmm. in the nation for reported cases of human trafficking, which tells us two things. One, mm-hmm. right? One is it's happening here and yep. it's a problem when compared with all the other states that are above, you know, Ohio are New York and Florida and all the ones that you would expect, California, et cetera. But the other thing that tells me is these are reported cases of human trafficking. So I also believe that we're making an impact mm-hmm. on the work that we're doing by having conversations like this that spread awareness and, you know, sharing the human trafficking hotline number, which I hope to do at the end of our conversation so that people actually report things that they see.
Yeah. Well, maybe a good time now to share that number because, you know, not everybody listens to the end of the podcast, unfortunately. So maybe a good time.
Yeah.
If we've got it.
Yeah. So it's 888-373-7888. So let me do that again. 888-373-7888.
And, you know, we'll include that as well in our show notes on the site. Listen on a podcast. It should be there in the description of the show notes.
Perfect.
But there's, you know, obviously we could probably get into signs and things to look for, but I imagine there's got to be some resources online as well if someone were to Google that, right? Signs, what they should be looking for.
Absolutely. And we have them on our website as well. Mm. Lots of resources on our website as far as books to read and videos to watch and other podcasts. We actually host our own podcast. So just a more informational about human trafficking and different aspects.
And what's the name of that podcast?
That's called Voices of Freedom.
Nice. Mm-hmm. Voices of Freedom. Okay. You heard it. If you're interested in that, you want to learn more about it, go check out Voices of Freedom, whatever podcast app you're listening on. But we'll take that moment to kind of pivot the conversation back towards Freedom a la Carte and what you guys are doing. So talk to us about the mission. What is the mission? How do you guys support it? What is the, I guess, the overall structure look like today?
Yeah. So the mission is to help these women who've been identified as victims of human trafficking and empower them to live lives that are free and to become self-sufficient. We define ourselves as being more midstream in the process. So there are other agencies that really work with women still in that lifestyle and helping to support them and get them out. And then there are other agencies that help get them out and then really help with those initial 6 months to a year of detox and all the trauma counseling and all those immediate resources, emergency housing, et cetera. We step in after that, realizing that this is a long journey. Mm-hmm. Like the trauma endured in these individuals is extensive. And it's not something that, you know, you recover from after a 2-year program. It's a lifelong journey. And so that's what we're there for, is that lifelong journey and really helping to empower them to be able to live on their own.
Yeah. Yeah. And so what does that tangibly look like, right? Or is it classes? Is it, you know, obviously we've talked about the catering portion of this, but yeah, what does the actual process look like?
So we have little 4 areas that we work in. The first is, and how we originally started was our relationship with Catch Court. So that's a restorative justice program in Franklin County that is specifically for individuals who are identified as victims of human trafficking. And that's a 2-year program. And we have come along, we bring lunch in to the women every week. We established a mentoring program. So all of the participants in that program receive a social mentor to walk alongside them and really model a healthy relationship. You know, as we mentioned, a lot of families are involved in this. And so they don't have people to rely on for support. And so to bring in someone else that's just there because, you know, they don't want anything from them. All I want is to be your friend and mm-hmm. take you to coffee and walk in the park and get to know you. So that's kind of stage one, building that relationship. We provide graduation ceremony for them. We take them on a retreat and we take them on outings every month and we're building that relationship. From there, we started the social enterprise. So that's employing the women mm-hmm. to knock down those barriers so that they're prepared to go into the workforce. So it's a 2-year program. They're learning not just to show up to work and work through conflicts, but all the soft skills needed to become a good employee. And then after those 2 years, we're linking them with jobs in the community. We actually pay them to go out and shadow and look at new opportunities as well as, you know, 40 hours of internship. Mm. So then they're connected into a new job and then they continue to stay with us for another year just to make sure that that job retention is in place and to support them through that new change. Mm-hmm. And then we have what we call the Butterfly Program. So the Butterfly is that continuum of care. We have about 250 women in that program who are, you know, getting together for connection, but also we offer case management, we offer counseling, we offer budgeting, we're doing a home buying workshop to really help introduce some of the women to their next step, which is they want to buy a house, mm-hmm. and helping them get in a position where they're ready to do that and make those connections. So that's the Butterfly program. And then we just started this spring a housing program where we connect with a local landlord, and he has 72 unit apartment building on the east side. And so they're managing the property. We partner with CMHA for the project vouchers. So the rent is subsidized based on the amount of income that they're bringing in. And then we come in with those tenants and then provide the support to help that housing be successful.
Hey, everybody. Mike here. We're going to take a quick break to talk about one of our sponsors, One Columbus. And we are very excited to partner with One Columbus. They really, really share the same vision as us here at the Conquering Columbus podcast, which is really building up the Columbus region to be one of the most prosperous regions in the United States. And One Columbus serves as the business location resource for companies across Central Ohio and around the world as those companies grow, innovate, and compete within the global economy. And they help us lead a regional growth strategy that develops and attracts the world's most competitive companies, grows a highly adaptive workforce, and prepares our communities for the future, inspiring innovation across the board. Their mission really is just ensuring the Columbus region is a vibrant place to build businesses and careers. So again, we really appreciate all of their support. You want to learn more about them, go check out their website, columbusregion.com. That's columbusregion.com. Thanks so much for tuning in. We'll be right back into the episode. Yeah, sounds like a pretty long-term program, right? If you go through each step and stage, I have to imagine that building trust early on would be extremely difficult.
It is difficult, but it's a long-term relationship. Mm-hmm. And going in knowing that, and that's why we start early with participants in Catch Court to start to build that. So by the time they come to work with us in the catering business or in the cafe, then they understand who we are and know that we have their best interest at heart. Now, not that that makes it any easier for them. Right. There's still lots of barriers and further trust to build. But by the time they leave, a lot of times they don't want to leave. Like they've become so comfortable with it. And then our job is like any parents, you know, you're kind of encouraging them to spread their wings and fly.
Sure.
Yeah.
Yeah, I can imagine. I suppose, you know, what are the biggest challenges with supporting that mission? Are you guys self-sustaining? Because I know there's some businesses that are tied to this. Does that provide the funding you need to run all these programs? Or are you out raising money all the time? Like, what does that look like?
So our business supplies about 52% of our revenue. So the rest is all grants, private donations, corporate donations, and then our fundraising events. It's pretty diverse. Mm-hmm. We shy away from federal funding. We don't want anything that has too much red tape tied to it. So far, we've been successful in doing that. Mm-hmm. And really, we have a wide variety of different types of grants and supporters.
Yeah. Yeah. Is that what your day-to-day is focused mostly on, or what does your day-to-day look like?
Oh my gosh, I can't even describe it. It's like it's busy every day and changing. Sure. I see myself as the visionary. So right now, I'm stepping more into the role of what's next for Freedom. Mm-hmm. You know, how do we take this model that we've developed here and this specialty that we've developed? Can we replicate this in new markets? Mm. So really diving deep into that, we've looked at different markets in Ohio, did a basic study, narrowed it down to Cleveland and Cincinnati, and now we're really diving a little bit deeper in each of those. Hope to identify one of those in the next few months and then put a plan in place to go do a test, like a pilot, and see, hey, how can we do this and share this opportunity with survivors in other cities?
Yeah. So it sounds like really spreading that mission from here. Would you imagine trying to go and get the, like, I gotta guess that it would be like, hey, let's take a piece of this and start there. And then if it works, expand it, right?
Exactly.
We're not gonna employ Catch Court and the Butterfly program. We kind of all the whole through and through in one go.
Exactly. Like the plan is really to use our workforce development, our catering business as the bedrock, which is kind of how it's been built originally, and start there and take that and see, you know, grow it how we've grown here, very slow over time, very organically, through building relationships. And that relationship building is not just with, you know, the women that we're working with, but also with the supporters and with the different partners. Mm-hmm. So that's a big part of what we do. We want to be a good community member in all aspects.
Yeah. And speaking of your partners and supporters, right? What do the volunteer options look like and how do people volunteer and where does that fit in?
Geez, we have lots of different areas of volunteer. Mentoring is one. So we mm-hmm. talked about the social mentors through Catch Court. We also have educational mentors, tutors. We have professional mentors. So mm-hmm. there's lots of those opportunities. We also actually have volunteers that come and work in the kitchen to just serve as extra hands on staff. So that's an opportunity. Then we have events that come up. So we have our fundraising events, our Eat Up Columbus, which is actually this coming weekend.
Okay.
So opportunities to step in and help there. And then, you know, we're always have corporations or different business groups come in to help in the kitchen, box cookies, those kinds of things. And in November, December, we start our Cause Cookies campaign. Mm-hmm. So for every $25 donation, you get a box of our Christmas cookies, all fresh baked. And we have volunteers come in and help box those up for us and do all that manual labor.
And I happen to have a box of cookies right here that I'm looking forward, very forward to trying. Haven't tried them yet, but I'm sure they're great. And, you know, you mentioned Eat Up, right?
Yes.
And that's something that you really built up prior to taking on this role. But what is Eat Up? What does it look like? It's an event, sounds like, right? But what does that do for the organization? And kind of where'd you get the idea for it? How'd you start that?
Yeah, so we started, 2014, I believe. And it really was an idea to bring the community together. Freedom a la Carte at the time had done these little supper clubs. Mm-hmm. And at the time, the Underground Supper Club was kind of a fun little thing that was going on. And Freedom did some of those as fundraisers. And so we decided to kind of take that idea and expand it. And so we called on different chefs from around the city mm-hmm. to help and really brought this collaboration going. When we launched it, we had 7 chefs do a 7-course meal with drink pairings with each course and served it up around big harvest tables of 18 people around a table. And we had multiple tables. So we had about 300 guests and really bringing them together to just enjoy food, you know, kind of come as strangers, leave as friends mm-hmm. idea, but then learn a little bit about the mission and human trafficking and hope that they become supporters
yeah.
down the road. And so that's how it started, of course, after COVID and the impact on the restaurant industry that changed a little bit over the mm-hmm. last few years. So now it's an event more based on appetizers mm-hmm. and it's up on the rooftop at the Vets Memorial and Museum.
Okay.
So it's outdoors under the skyline and it's just a beautiful event. Everyone wears white to symbolize the blank canvas. And we have survivors, you know, share stories and just celebrate, you know, each other and the work that's been done. So like still about 400 people attend. Mm-hmm. The first year we raised about 100,000 and last year we raised about 350.
Incredible. I mean, that's a successful event.
Yeah.
Yeah. You think you take that. So as you think ahead, right, you mentioned kind of expanding. Are there any other initiatives you're excited about outside of, you know, trying to expand this to Cleveland or Cincinnati?
No, that and the housing program that we're working on, that's our focus right now. Like, right. That's enough.
Focus is important.
Yes. Right?
I mean, you can easily start trying to do too much and get out in front of your skis.
Yes. We talk about that a lot at mm-hmm. Freedom. Like, what do we need to stop doing? Where do we need to focus? You know, bigger's not always better. So our catering business is very successful and there's a part of the team that wants to just expand that. We need a bigger kitchen. We need bigger this. We need more of that. It's like our mission is not to be the biggest catering company in Columbus. Our mission is to use that to support the women that we're serving. And so how do we mesh that together in the best, most effective way?
Yeah, absolutely. So I think it's kind of a good place to start heading towards some of our last questions of the show. But before we head that direction, if our listeners are listening to this and they're thinking, hey, how can I help support outside mm-hmm. of volunteering, what are their options? Where should they go?
So they can always check us out at the website. So that's freedomalacarte.org. So we started as a food cart. So it's actually freedom, A-L-A-C-A-R-T.
No E.org.
And then, you know, our cafe is located at 123 East Spring Street. So how easy to support by just coming down, grabbing coffee and a pastry or a delicious lunch. And we really strive to make sure that everything that we serve is top quality because we know that people will come in the first time to support the mission, but in order to build the business, we want them coming back again and again. And so that quality of food, we hope to satisfy you with what you're receiving there.
Okay. So go to cafe, right? Go to the website, quite a few options. But starting with some of our last questions of the show, the first one is always, hey, do you have any advice for our listeners? And our listeners, just so you know, are mostly here in Columbus, right? 95% of them within like 50 square miles of the city.
Mm-hmm.
And they are really interested in what's going on in Columbus, listen to a lot of entrepreneurial stories, that type of thing. So, you know, being previously an entrepreneur yourself and now, you know, really taking on something a little different, what advice would you have for them?
Well, one is to come visit the cafe.
Mm-hmm.
Another is if they see something suspicious that doesn't look right, to say something.
Mm-hmm.
And then as far as from a business perspective, I just always encourage people to like follow your heart, like what you're really passionate about, rather you're being paid for that or not, like just do that. And it doesn't have to be your day job, but really find that and dig into that.
Yeah. So find the time for your passion.
Yeah. Make time. You have to make the time. The time's never there, but yeah.
Yeah. I'm a sales guy, right? So one of the classic pushouts from people is, I'm too busy for that right now. That's not really the truth, right? If you're, what you're saying is it's not important enough to make time for right now. Now that's a different conversation, right? So yeah, the same thing with yourself, right? Hey, if I'm too busy to take whatever this thing I want to do on is, maybe you got to figure out how important that is to you.
Exactly.
Perfect. Well, Paula, it's been great talking to you. And I want to go towards one of our last questions at the show, which is centered around the theme here on Conquering Columbus. That theme is live uncomfortably. So without telling you too much about why we chose that particular phrase, what do you think of when you hear it? How does it apply to your life and career?
So when I think of that, I live by a similar theme. I think that they're similar, and that is like take the road less traveled. Mm-hmm. So really doing something that is out of the ordinary and that maybe can be a little painful at times. One of those was jumping into this role and leaving that safety net of the marketing business that I knew and was comfortable in. But let's try something else. You know, take a pay cut. You make some sacrifices there, but the internal rewards have been great. Another example is, you know, we have an Airstream motorhome and we sold our house in the suburbs and moved downtown, lived downtown for 5 years. And then we moved out of the condo and into the Airstream and lived in the Airstream for a year this past year. And it was the best experience of my life. And thinking of being a little uncomfortable in that, but always thinking, what's the worst that can happen? Like if it's not great, if we don't like it, then you just make a change.
Mm-hmm.
So really embracing those new experiences and taking a risk.
Love it. Paula, thanks so much for coming on the show today, talking about freedom a la carte and your story. We really appreciate you joining us.
Thank you.
And Conquerors, thanks so much for tuning in. If you enjoyed that interview, you want to hear more just like it, go ahead and hit that subscribe button on whatever podcast app you are listening on. It'll make sure you never miss an episode. And if you want to learn more about Freedom a la Carte, like we mentioned, check out their website, freedomalacarte.org. That's Freedom a la Carte with no E, just C-A-R-T. Thanks so much for tuning in. We'll talk to you next week.